Welcome to Hot Level Podcast. Kevin A.C. Padres beat writer for the Union Tribune. There's Ryan Finley, sports head of the Union Tribune. Padres, Phillies. Padres just lost a series in Washington, something that they had not done, or that the Nationals had not done to them since 2018. Not used to leaving Washington as losers, the Padres. Now they come to play a team that just swept them a week ago at home. Ryan, so much. Where would you like to start?
To me, this seems like an inflection point in the season, Kevin, and I don't want to over-dramatize things, but you know, if this was happening a month ago, we'd say, well, it's early. Well, you know, it's not really early now. I mean, it's June, and the Padres are skidding. Their offensive struggles have become worse and worse. Their bullpen has faltered a little bit lately. To me, this seems like a very big week for them, starting with this three-game series against the Phillies.
Yeah, place, you know, Phillies team that, again, you know, basically dominated them last week. A lot of series you could argue, hey, the Padres could have done this or could have done this. You know, that one, I guess all they could have done was hit. That might have helped. And now they're going to face just as good a pitchers. I mean, we'll go over that later, but I mean, they're facing two of the same three guys and then Zach Wheeler. So, I mean, wow. And then, yes, the timing, you're spot on. Like, they would argue it's early. And I get it. I get that argument. There is more than half the season to go. There is, in fact, almost two-thirds of the season to go. But that means a third. And a third of a baseball season is a long time. And so, yeah, I do agree with you that this is a very important part of the season.
Right. And I say it's crucial early because I think at least the Padres have sort of a 4 or 6 week audition period here to show. And we've had this conversation, I think it was two seasons ago. Are they worth investing in at the deadline, right? Is this, they have 6 weeks to prove that they're still a playoff team. And if they still are 6 weeks from now, AJ Preller is going to try to make them better.
Agreed. And if we were talking about this a couple years ago, it's interesting that you would say that. I think at the end of May, a couple years ago, they were two games above 500. If it wasn't, then it was last year that they were two games above 500. We know what they did both years at the trade deadline. And they've been around this record at the end of May, the last 2 years. So my point being, like, this is kind of where they've been. Every time you're in it, it feels worse. And I would grant you that this, with the way the offense is going, feels like the least promising of the three teams, 24, 25, 26. But then I would say to you, this is a deeper team than either one of those. This team has a as good or better bullpen than those at this time of the season. And I think there is the promise of them trying to do something, but you're totally right about the audition. I think that why would you, because AJ Preller has also shown the willingness to stand pat or try to some extent build for the future at the trade deadline. And why would you, if Manny Machado's still hitting, gosh, I don't know what to say, 201? Because 201 means that, you know, he probably hit 215 in the interim because he's down at whatever it is, 180 now. But if he's still struggling, if Tatis hasn't hit many more home runs, if Merrill is still struggling, which he looks like he might be coming out of it, what are you even doing? What
right.
Like, you're not going to win enough without two of those three guys.
Right. That's true. And to that end, I think is the story of at least today is this. For the first time, I would say in the 2026 season, the Padres are making a minor league call-up designed to improve their offense. And that is Jace Bowen. Jace Bowen getting called up from AAA El Paso. Somebody, what his role will be on this team is at least immediately unclear to me. But he's a guy who's been hitting there. You, Kevin, were telling me about Jace Bowen months and months ago in spring training. What are they getting in him, and what do you suspect his role is going to be?
Well, he's an outfielder who can play the outfield very well, maybe not as polished, but a really good athlete. He has some pop. He can run. So there, you got a guy who is going to be on your bench, right? Okay, well, they're struggling. Their left fielder's struggling. Their right fielder's playing second base. And so there's a spot for Bowen to come and play. I don't know if it's play every day, but there seems to be zero reason to bring him up if you're not going to play him. And hope that, you know, I don't think it, no one is pinning this on him. It's funny that, you know, it's the guy that you're right about him being brought up to maybe it'll be a little bit of spark for the offense. I'd say unless you hardcore follow this team or borderline hardcore, you didn't know who Jace Bowen was. I mean, signed as a minor league agent, made AAA for the first time last year in the Pirates organization. Unless you were really paying attention in spring training and have been paying attention to El Paso, you're like, well, wait, this wasn't one of their guys. You're right. But this is a good player who, you know, it was a matter of time until he got a shot. Padres have been thinking about this, and they think that now's the time to spring it.
Yeah. How does he go from a minor league free agent, a guy who hadn't been past double A, to making his big league debut? What happened with him in Pittsburgh?
You know, just kind of didn't, he wasn't great. Let's put it that way. He wasn't great. He made it to AAA for the first time last year. Wasn't playing maybe to what they thought his ability was. And let's be honest, like the Pirates haven't exactly run their organization great. I would have the same question as you. Now the Pirates appear to be making a little bit more of a splash this year and have constructed their major league roster in a way and have some promising young players, but Jace Bowen wasn't their guy, or, you know, they didn't think he was their guy anymore. I don't know exactly what happened, except I do have to say, it's not like he was on some meteoric rise through their system. He was always one of their upper end prospects, but didn't really live up to that to some extent. Now he came in the spring and after a good year, AAA, getting himself up to AAA last year, and he showed every bit of promise. Now there was a reason that Bryce Johnson was on the roster. They wanted Jace Bowen to get, you know, become a little more polished as a baseball player, as an outfielder, as a base runner. And also, you know, Bryce Johnson brings a lot to a team as your final guy who can do a lot of things for you off the bench.
Right. Will that be the corresponding move, do you think?
I just, for all that I try to talk myself out of it, I don't see another move that there is. Nick Castellanos, well, wait a minute. It's like 2 weeks ago, you were only winning because Nick Castellanos and Gavin Sheets were contributing. Nick Castellanos can give you a pinch hit at bat that you have to feel. Now, I understand I'm a big Bryce Johnson guy, but like Nick Castellanos can give you some pop. You are looking, if you're going to put Jace Bowen in the picture and he's going to play more than Nick Castellanos, you need someone coming off the bench. Now, I get it. Defense and, well, but who are you? I just don't see a place for Bryce Johnson on this team.
Right? And he is out of options, up, correct?
Nick Castellanos. I'm sorry?
And Bryce Johnson is out of options?
He is. Now, let's get a little, like, so you don't want to lose Bryce Johnson. Oh, okay. Like, why? I mean, you know, like, why?
Yeah.
And if he's so valuable, you know, then keep him. But if he's so valuable, why does he have 36 plate appearances this year?
Right. Why does he not play?
This is Kevin, the guy covering the team, looking at how the team is utilizing Bryce Johnson and what they apparently think about Bryce Johnson. Not Kevin saying, man, Bryce Johnson sucks. This is, you know, just, this is the reality of the big leagues. There's a reason there's that saying. Have you ever heard of it? This is the big leagues.
Welcome to the big leagues. Exactly. Well, and there's this, right? If they thought Bryce Johnson was the answer to their problems in the outfield, he'd be playing more.
With Laureano batting one something over the last month. With Castellanos having cooled. Yeah, absolutely. With Fernando Tatis Jr. At second base. Yeah, they would.
Yep. And it's funny. I mean, you look tonight for our listeners or viewers here, when they show the Padres starting lineup tonight before the game, take a look at batting averages there. This is a team that is slumping almost across the board. Pick a position, I'll tell you, with the exception of like Gavin Sheets and lately Jackson Merrill and Fernando Tatis Jr. ? This is a team in desperate need of a spark offensively.
Yep. And I, you know, look, is Jace Bowen going to be that spark? When you're like this and you've tried everything, shuffling the lineup, putting this guy here, putting this guy there, and you're like waiting, working, and it's not happening, Jace Bowen's a good option. And look, the Padres are always surprising us, right? I mean, they need a 40-man roster spot too. So I guess temporarily they could move Nick Pivetta over, but Johnny Brito needs to come off his rehab assignment. So Nick Pivetta is going to be moved over to the 60-day IL for that probably. And so there, you can't just come up with some sort of, or I shouldn't say like make up an IL, but you can't, you, just because someone's hurt, you can't just, you need to also create a 40-man roster spot. And so then, okay, could it be Sungmin Song that goes back down? Sure. But then I don't know who your backup shortstop is. I don't, you know, I don't know who your second base, your backup or starting second baseman is. And so, yeah, I got to think that it's Bryce Johnson.
Yeah. No, it's interesting. Quick aside on Johnny Brito, Kevin, and he pitched great the other day for Double A El Paso in a rehab start. A guy who's sort of been a forgotten man, right? I mean, initially he was pretty highly thought of coming from the Yankees.
Yeah.
When he is activated, is he a long man or is there a chance he tries to crack this rotation or they see him as a rotation guy?
Yeah, they could. It's either way. That's what they're talking about. He keeps pitching like this. You give him a shot in the rotation. Maybe it's even only a couple more starts so that you see what he's doing before the trade deadline gets closer. So yeah, that's a positive for them.
Yeah, for sure. Padres, Phillies, 3-game series starting tonight in Philadelphia. Kevin, let's go over starting pitching here just for a minute. I mean, to me, this is one of the tougher challenges of their season, just based on what the pitching matchups are going to be. Tonight, it's Randy Vasquez, 5-3, with a 3.28 ERA, going up against Aaron Nola, 3-4, with an ERA over 5. Nola is not pitching well this season, but he beat the Padres last week. Allowed 2 runs over 6 innings, struck out 5, didn't walk anybody. It was just his fourth quality start in 11 tries. Aaron Nola at home is a tough guy to beat, I think.
Yeah, he's tough to beat for the Padres at Petco Park. Unlike Zach Littell, the pitcher on Sunday for the Nationals, whose ERA is inflated, but recently has been pitching really well, the other for Aaron Nola, he went into San Diego last week and he had struggled in 3 or 4 starts and 6 innings, 2 runs. You looked like the same old Aaron Nola from 2021 or 22 or whatever against the Padres. So yeah, but this would be the one you're going to go over the next couple starting pitchers. Look, the last time that I was in the middle of a 6-game road trip, the Padres had lost 2 of 3 at the first one was Milwaukee. And they were going into Seattle facing 3 really good starters. And we're like, uh-oh. And they went in there and they swept. Mm-hmm. This is what you're doing again here in this road trip. You're going into this series going, uh-oh, this offense against those pitchers, uh-oh. Aaron Nola is probably the guy to get tonight.
Right. I seem to remember a Padres road trip, Kevin. I think it was 2024. They went to Philadelphia and they were facing Ranger Suarez, really struggling. And this was a team that somehow rallied to beat Ranger Suarez that afternoon in Philly and then lost like 6 games in the next 7 weeks or something. Baseball's weird, but Thursday.
Hey, what happened to your Diamondbacks this weekend after you were talking about how hot they were going into this weekend? Huh? Baseball is a really, really screwed up game.
Right. Well, and then they beat the Dodgers last night, right? So weird. Thursday, Lucas Giolito, 2-0 with a 4.97 ERA. Wednesday. Gosh, we haven't even talked about Wednesday. Wednesday's Walker Buehler, 3-3, 4.88, coming off a pretty good outing, going up against Cy Young himself, Christopher Sanchez, who has thrown a franchise record 44 2/3 consecutive scoreless innings. And this franchise, Kevin, we're not talking about the Tampa Bay Devil Rays or the Arizona Diamondbacks. The Phillies have been playing baseball for a very long time. Was dominant at Petco Park, struck out 9 over 7 innings last week, leads the majors in just about every category that matters. A stud pitcher that the Padres are going to have to try to figure out.
It's one of my favorite things when it happens because the Padres don't necessarily have the long and distinguished history, right? First off, they weren't founded until the Major League Padres until 1969. And it hasn't been there've been no championships. It was a run of time where there weren't any all-stars unless you were a Hall of Fame closer. When they do something where you're like, first time in Padres history since something, it's like Clay Meredith. It's like Ryan Schimpf. It's Corey Spangenberg who did something for 5 days or something. When the Phillies 1950s have a guy who hasn't done something. It was 115 years ago, and it was Hall of Famer Grover Cleveland Alexander. Like, that's who Ranger Suarez is comparing to. It's like when you go to the Yankees and they make an announcement in the press box, that was the first Aaron Judge has done yada yada, first time since Babe Ruth. Okay. Right. Like, yeah, Ranger Suarez is, yeah. But Christopher Sanchez. It's funny you bring up Ranger Suarez. I think of that game all the time. It's when Manny started to break out in 2024. The Padres, man, they were hurt and they'd lost the first two games of that series. And I just try to remind myself and remind fans all the time of what you just said. And that is that you just, this game, you just don't ever know what's around the corner.
Right. I listened to that game from a boat in the middle of the ocean. We could barely get the Padre broadcast on the radio. I just remember being totally blown away by the outcome there.
Were you with a volleyball? Like, did you, that you had named where I had no idea you were lost at sea at some point.
Not
here.
Lost at sea, but we could not see land from where we were. It was freaking me out a little bit. And yeah, so it's crazy. Okay, now we're going to talk about Thursday. Lucas Giolito, 2-0, 4.97 ERA. He's going up against Zach Wheeler, who before he got hurt last time was doing some of the stuff Christopher Sanchez is doing. A very high-end starter. He's 4-1 this year with an ERA of 2.27. He missed all last year after undergoing a thoracic outlet syndrome surgery. Yeah, very big game there against, again, another very tough pitcher.
Zach Wheeler's a badass. You talk to people in the Phillies organization, like they picked up, I mean, coincided, right, with him coming back. Obviously, you had the manager thing. Their schedule got a lot easier than it was at the start. But that they think like the pitching just really picked up because, like, you know, this guy is that guy, right? And I think in his first start back, he went five innings. And in the five since then, or six since then, he's gone at least six. And the only team that it wasn't a quality start was this last probably Monday against the or whenever it was Friday. Yeah, against the Dodgers. They scored four runs against Zach Wheeler in six innings. Like, he's a badass.
Yeah, no, he's very, very good. This is a Phillies team. Keep in mind, it wasn't all that long ago that things were so bad that they fired their manager. But Don Mattingly has, I don't know if it's just a new voice, if it's lucky timing or what it is. Don Mattingly has done a wonderful job.
Take a look at their schedule under Rob Thompson and their schedule under Don Mattingly. Right. I mean, they were like, you know, 12 games against the Braves or something. No, it was just like they were playing all the good teams. Now, yep. That's not all of it. New voice. Zach Wheeler coming back. I mean, they're pitching just incredible. They started to hit a little bit. They're not now, but like a lot of things happen besides the manager. But hey, yo, you're going to make a change. You look at that schedule and you go, okay, now's the change if it's going to change.
A quick aside, Kevin, I know that you grew up with Yankee games on TV in your house. Were you a Don Mattingly guy when you were a little kid?
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, I don't know how exactly little I was by Don Mattingly time, but here's the thing. When I was young, you didn't have the games on in your house very often unless there was a national telecast. It wasn't like now, and you and your kids, you guys, it can be every night. And no, it wasn't like that. You had to read about it in the newspaper the next day. You had to read Sports Illustrated. Later, you would ESPN the magazine. And you would, ESPN on Sundays. But yeah, you didn't get to see them every night, but you tried to keep up with them.
Yep, absolutely. It's crazy. Kevin, I know it's too early to talk about the trade deadline. I do. But what's the Padres shopping list as it stands right now? And is there any chance that they would do something before, you know, the end of July?
Yeah, absolutely. We should talk about like before the trade deadline.
Right.
Well, first off, technically, I always say at the deadline. It's like, yeah, okay, well, technically, like everything's before the deadline. That's what a deadline means. But yes, well before the deadline is certainly a possibility. What the Padres would like, the best case and maybe only case scenario for the Padres is that their offense picks up because they already have the guys that are supposed to. They already have the kind of guys that other teams would bring in thinking that they were going to help out their team. Like, you know, in any other year. Manny Machado, Fernando Tatis Jr., Jackson Merrill. They brought in Ramon Laureano to be better than this. Fermin to be better than this. But mainly their big name guys have to turn it around. That doesn't mean that they wouldn't add offense, designated hitter, left fielder, whatever it is. Because, you know, maybe only one of the big guys gets hot and they're like, we can do this. And, you know, we're going to, they're still there. They're 8-10 games over and they add offense. But primarily we're talking about a starting pitcher who they can count on, that it's that guy. That guy, we're talking ace, right? We're talking one of the 15 to 20 aces there are. And there's going to be some guys, Freddy Peralta, Tarek Skubal, that maybe it's Framber Valdez. You know, there's going to be some guys that are available, right? And then reliever, sure. Yeah, left-handed reliever. But their offense has got to pick up for this to become a reality. But it's a totally valid question because this team clearly, as much as any team during this period of time we call the golden era of Padres baseball, these past 6 years, this one needs help. Like you don't envision this one. You could have squinted and said, oh, maybe the Padres in June of 2024, that team could be a playoff team, even though the bullpen was down at that point. But you can't fool yourself into thinking this team, as it is constructed right now, is a World Series team. It could be a playoff team, sure, because that's dependent on a lot of things. It's not a team that goes into the playoffs and scares anyone.
Right. And this is all, again, you know, without Nick Pivetta, without Joe Musgrove, even if we're to believe that they're going to pitch this year, and I think that, you know, despite what the Padres say, that's not a given.
I want to say that we did skip over that Nick is playing catch. That happened right in Washington. Right. Joe is throwing plyo balls a fair distance. And that you're right, but they're doing things that suggest they're going to pitch this year.
Right.
But that's all.
My point is, even if both of those guys return to the rotation, I still don't think that's a World Series caliber rotation. I still think that you're going to need to go get one more guy.
Right. Because, like, look, if they come back, and I'm not predicting anything or telling you anything, like, I'm saying they come back, like, it could end at any time too. Mm-hmm. Right. I mean, you don't, like, Joe Musgrove in 2024, he knew the arm was going to give out. He went as long as he could. If he could have given him two more starts, maybe they're in the World Series. But, like, you know, he was pitching his best at the end, but it was a matter of time. Could that be the case with Nick Pivetta? You know, when Joe comes back, like, that's part of the reason they're taking their time, so that when they come back, they're good. But, like, yeah, you are absolutely correct about that.
Yep. Kevin, I put you on the spot at the end of every episode, and today is no different. I'm going to ask you this question rhetorically. Who's happier that Fernando Tatis Jr. hit his first home run, Fernando Tatis Jr. or Kevin Acey? Because you don't have to write about his homerless streak, at least for a while.
Well, for a lot of reasons, and as you said, rhetorical, you know the answer, but for a lot of reasons, it's Fernando. And because here's the deal, like, from my perspective, I don't, you know, there's not much difference between one and zero, mm-hmm. right? Like, the monkey's off his back, but now it's like a little, the gorilla's off his back, but now it's like a monkey. Is that where I should go? Because, like, come on, like, you know, he's still got to show some more power on a more consistent basis. And man, they kind of screwed me. That was such a beautiful moment. It really was. And I still wrote about it as the focus of my story because we'd waited so long and it was a great moment, but they lost. So Fernando wasn't in a good mood after the game. He wasn't in the mood to talk about it. If I got cheated, that means the readers got cheated. We all got cheated from just a great day, right? That kind of day that baseball gives us every once in a while. That moment basically lived for two innings.
Yeah. And two very uncharacteristic losses, too. I think the bullpen falls apart on Saturday. And then on Sunday, I mean, two strike him out, throw him out, double plays. You know, tying run on third with one out in what, the sixth or the seventh. Couldn't get anything done there. That's the thing that scares me. Hey, getting swept by the Phillies when they have the best starting pitcher three nights in a row doesn't bother me a ton. Losing to what I think is a promising but still bad team by not playing fundamentally sound baseball, that's a struggle. And that's why I think, again, this is an inflection point in their season.
The Saturday get loss, Michael King is still can't find his sinker. So he gets into the seventh. He's got nothing but the change. That changeup was unbelievable for 5+ innings. They got to him a little in the sixth. And then they started hitting the changeup. Okay. So like on the bullpen, Bradley Rodriguez was brought in with bases loaded and no outs. He's a rookie. Like, I mean, that game was done at that point. All right. Like that game's on the offense. And I'm not saying you weren't saying that it was also on the offense, but like that game, come on, 3 runs on 3 solo homers, 3 other hits.
Right.
They walked 8 times, couldn't get guys around. Like, yeah, it's like I'm having a hard time every time I got up, unless you're Lucas Giolito, who, by the way, they're 3-0 when Giolito started somehow. But like, unless it's a terrible outing by the starter, I'm almost always putting it on the offense because like this, the Padres have had one of the better rotations in baseball over the last month, believe it or freaking not. And it, I shouldn't say one of the best rotations, best pitching staffs, and their rotation hasn't been good. There's no stretch of the imagination to say it's been good the last couple of weeks, but in May when they were 13-15, they were okay. They were. Mm-hmm. I mean, you don't even have to qualify it by saying they were okay for the guys they had. They were okay for a rotation. Mm-hmm. Their offense stinks.
Yep. And it's going to go Phillies, Mets, Reds here the next three series. I predict, Kevin, that 9 games from now, we'll have a much better idea of where they are. Because either they get off the mat and start hitting and start beating good teams, or maybe we're having a very different conversation when we talk here in, let's say, 2 weeks.
Talking with Jeff Sanders this morning, or texting. I don't like to talk to Jeff. Hi, Jeff. Jeff listens. And Jeff's idea was something percolating for me. Didn't know when I would do it, but it makes sense that 9 games from now, you know, that's the next off day. That's when we're looking at the trade deadline and where are they at, right? Because, you know, it's 9 more games. What's the rest of the division or the wild card race look like? I think we know what the division is going to look like. Watch, I say that and the Padres are 8 games up by August, but I think we know what the division is going to look like. And I think that was a really good point for us to reassess, right?
Yep. Starting June the 23rd, Kevin, until July the 12th, the Padres play in order the Braves, the Dodgers, the Cubs, the Dodgers, the Diamondbacks, and the Blue Jays.
Okay.
Better fatten up before then, right?
You know that there's another reason to talk about that 9 games from now. Like, okay, you know, hey, by the way, Padres are very aware of that as well. AJ Preller is not afraid to pull a trigger, you know? What was it? June 2nd? No, it was a month ago he got Arise. That guy Arise is hitting for the Giants. Wow, maybe you should get him. Kidding.
Tom Krasnick did have a column about that in today's paper, Kevin. Come on.
Oh, well, I'm in Philadelphia. I hadn't checked yet.
Excellent. Padres-Phillies 3-game series. That'll do it for this episode of the Hot Lava Podcast. For Kevin Acey, I'm Ryan Finley. We'll see you next time.